Hi, I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we're talking to Pastor Kyle Keel from Trinity Newberry, as well as Grace in the Upper Peninsula, as well as Bethlehem up north as well. And Pastor, welcome. I know you're a busy guy, so we appreciate you taking time and doing this.
Thank you for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got up there.
Sure. So I'm originally from Southeast Wisconsin, went through the track of pre-seminary at the Concordia, Wisconsin, right through Seminary St. Louis. And Trinity Newberry was my first call right out of seminary. I got to come up to the Upper Peninsula, and I was excited to come up here when I found out, call day. They said, you're only going to Michigan District. I'm in Michigan. And then I remembered, wait, there's UP, and we were super excited to come up here. And so I've been up here for just over 9 years now. Still at Trinity Newberry, like you mentioned, but then about 3 years ago, Pastor Art Bodie, who was overseeing Grace and Germfask and Engadine, Bethlehem and Engadine, he was retiring. And so I was, okay, what do we do? I filled in first as a vacancy pastor there to help them through the process of, do we make this a tri-parish? Do they try to call another pastor? Do they go off on their own? And so we spent the rest of all that year, 7 months or so, as a vacancy pastor, figuring out where this was going. Basically, the Lord leading us to the best option is to form a tri-parish. So January of 2022 is when I officially began. I got the call from all three churches then to serve as all three pastors, or as serve pastor in all three churches.
So talk about a typical Sunday now. We know it's so you're doing three services on Sunday, and we know that the UP, some of these churches can be a little bit further away from each other, right?
Yes, they can be. Up here, we learn to travel. If you have to travel an hour, that's a typical day.
Yeah, so what does your typical Sunday look like?
So on a Sunday, when we became full-time tri-parish with me as the full-time pastor for all three churches, that was one of the things we worked through is, okay, how are we going to do Sunday worship? During the vacancy, one church, Engadine, took Saturday morning. And then the other two had Sunday morning. That worked okay until you start getting to Saturday, because it was on a Saturday morning. So you got Saturday church, Sunday church, mm-hmm. and more people at Engadine want to come back to Sunday morning. So like, well, how can we just squeeze this in? We don't want to go way too early because you're going to lose people. We don't want to go way too late because like we were talking about earlier, now we start getting into the lines of Packer games. And so we finally came up with, we started just trying something to see how this goes at 7:30, 9:30, and 11 o'clock. Well, 7:30 was a little too early, so can we bump it up a half an hour? Mm-hmm. So now what we do is we do 8 o'clock at Germfask, 10 o'clock here in Newberry, and then 11:45 in Engadine. Germfask is about half hour away from Newberry, which is where the parsonage and where I'm, in a sense, you want to say headquartered, where I reside here. And then Engadine, Bethlehem is not in Engadine, it's north of the town, so that's about 15 to 20 minutes away. So I go out to Germfast, come back to Newberry, lead church in Newberry, go down to Engadine, and then come back. Basically, I'm gone from about 7:30 till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I do get to miss the afternoon Packer games.
You're hoping for that 4 o'clock kickoff, I'm sure, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So you basically put on what you said was 80 miles on a Sunday?
Over 80 miles on a Sunday morning, yep.
Wow. So in this partnership, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the sacrifices that need to be made in order for all three congregations to feel like they're served and served well?
Indeed. That was the one thing, like with Trinity was used to 7 years of me just being their own pastor. Mm-hmm. So now it's okay. Now they need to share me, in a sense, with these other two congregations and time. And even though, yeah, they say, well, pastor will split his time, one third with each congregation, it always varies. Mm-hmm. Especially because I live here in Newberry, and I'm more so in Newberry. I'm around here. My office is here. But like I have to go visit people, an hour away in every direction. And then try to make all the meetings. And so as one thing is the church is learning, okay, how can we share this pastor and share his time with all of us. Like even Sunday morning, okay, so whoever wants the early church is the first church, but they have to kind of sacrifice my time, you know, like, okay, now afterwards, I kind of get going to the other church. The middle church is like the prime time. It's at 10 o'clock, but you have me coming and you have me going. It's you know, not much time to chit chat with the pastor because he's literally got to get out the door here going. And then, yeah, the third church, you know, it sacrificed their time there later in the day, but now I kind of get to hang out with them afterwards at fellowship hour as well. So then on Sunday morning, each church has its pros and cons or sacrifices they made in regard to having a pastor there, especially I can spend, you know, a little time chit-chatting with people. And we never cut worship. It's like we just do worship. It takes as long as it needs to. But we do try to watch our time a little bit with that. Those are more of the basic sacrifices. Coming together was nice because now we're sharing like expenses, we're sharing costs. Instead of each church having their own bulletin, I combine all bulletins into one. And so they get all the information for all the different churches together, but now we're saving on printing costs. And so now we just have one printing cost that's shared between all three churches instead of one church just handling that.
As the tri-parish, I got to imagine those challenges that you face. Some of it is getting to know just the different feel of each church, correct?
Yeah, it's so like I was, you know, based in Newberry, so I got to know Newberry really well. Well, now I need to get to know Durham, Fasken, and Ingadine, which I'm not really in those towns a whole lot. So getting connected with those people, like people know me here as the Cowboy Pastor in Newberry. So now I'm trying to make that known in those towns now. Which we're working on it. It's getting there. But yeah, it's, and then the people itself, you know, it takes time as well to get to know everybody. Especially when you're all these different locations and trying to see all these different people, it can be a little time consuming because you're doing some travels. Like for example, you know, maybe some pastors make several visits in one day. I get to maybe one or two visits in a day. And so there's a little sacrifice there. Okay, pastor can't do monthly visits. Let's try bi-monthly, or we call upon the elders. Well, pastor can't get here right now. Maybe one of the elders can pop in until pastor can get there again. So there was another sacrifice was, okay, how often can pastor visit with people? Because I am going in four different directions, sometimes an hour away to go visit somebody.
So we talk about those challenges that you face. How about some of the joys and some of the cool things that you've got a chance to experience in this job?
Some of the cool things is one of the things when I became full-time pastor was unity between the three churches. When I first got here, it was just at Trinity, Newberry. It was kind of, okay, here's Trinity and Newberry. We got our ministry going on in Newberry, and then there's Ingadine and there's Durham Fast. But I didn't do a whole lot with those other churches. Even collaboration with things. So it was one of the things is, okay, how can we be united, unified together in this ministry? One ministry, we are here together. Mm-hmm. Not just a shared pastor, it's a shared calling, a shared ministry together to serve the people here in the UP, God's country, as we call it, and collaborate together. And so one of the things was one Sunday a month, we host a combined worship service and we rotate churches. And that'll be, we'll go to Durham Fast one Sunday, and then the following month we'll be at Ingadine, and the following month we'll be in Newberry. And all three churches will come together and worship at only one church that Sunday at 10 o'clock usually. And then we have a potluck afterwards. And so many people have said they've come to really enjoy that because they get to know the other people from the other churches who they normally would not see. But they have a lot of family connections, or they notice people and now they get to see them. And it's also nice because instead of having like 30, and 20, now we're all gathered on one Sunday. Now we have like 70 to 80 people worshiping together, like we do for Reformation. We'll do just a combined service for Reformation. Everyone's singing together, A Mighty Fortress. And so it's joy bringing people together and being together, and worshiping together. Especially get to know each other and we collaborate together more. For example, like VBS, now we do, instead of each church doing VBS, we only do one VBS at one church, and we kind of pull our resources in together. The people we have, we do carpooling, and so we'll do VBS in Durham Fast. They've had a good VBS program out there, so we just kept it there, and And we keep doing that just once a year. During the vacancy, we did do two different VBSs. And we're like, no, this ain't going to work. Let's see if we could just do one. So we collaborate with that.
So how do things maybe, whether it's with youth, confirmation, and also maybe even service projects, how does that work between the three of you?
Sure. So confirmation is there too. I look at, okay, where do people actually live? Because even though they're members like in GermFast, they live like in Curtis and they school in Engadine. And so I actually meet with those kids in Engadine, at Bethlehem and Engadine. And then afterwards, then I come up to Newberry and meet with the kids here in Newberry at Trinity. And so we do kind of have different confirmation classes, same curriculum. Mm-hmm. It's just in two different locations with that. I tried to get it together, but just logistics-wise, it's just not going to work. It's just easier for these families to meet in Engadine, these families to meet here in Newberry, and work in that way. But we work the schedule out that works to get it all one Wednesday afternoon and evening, too. So it's like, okay, Wednesday's already gone. But then when we have midweek services, that's another thing we do. Instead of each church having a midweek service, we rotate there. So one church will have this Wednesday, one church will have this Wednesday, one church will have the other Wednesday. Or like Lent, each church will host two Wednesdays. And we rotate in Lent, so each church will host Ash Wednesday at least once throughout a cycle. But there too, like, it's nice to get together and have a meal together instead of having three different services where you have five or six. Now at least we have 15 to 20 at one service. Mm-hmm. But going back to confirmation, then, like, okay, confirmation squeezes on Wednesday night. Well, now we have a midweek services. We can't do confirmation during midweek services. So there's a little schedule fluctuation, and people understand that because we are going here, there, and everywhere. And so they understand, okay, there's little schedule fluctuation that needs to happen with certain things.
As far as reaching out into the community and the service projects go, how is that collaboration working out?
Each church has its own communities that they are part of, and they kind of are established and are well known in those communities. So like, for example, the school needs something here in Newberry, Trinity will step up. We kind of don't ask the other churches. Mm-hmm. So when something's going on in the community itself, but we'll come together for other greater goods or projects together. For example, like Feeding America, that covers a wider area up here. And so even though Feeding America comes to Newberry, where I oversee and help out with it, I reach out to my other churches for help and support too, but also helps their neighbors. So they do come here to Newberry. They'll travel the distance to either help or get food for themselves or for their neighbors. So they are willing to travel and help out where necessary. Now, when one church, like say, has a fundraiser to help out with something, we'll make sure the other churches always know about it, not just again with a shared bulletin that goes to all three, and a shared announcements on the same PowerPoint during worship. But I always announce it so others know, and they'll come out and support them. Like the ladies, they will have something going on and say, hey, they have this going on the Sunday. If you're able to, come out and support them. And I've seen that where they'll travel between the three churches and locations to support those needs and the organizations and the fundraisers that we do. Because we know we are working in this together. It's not just one. Even though each church is individual and has their own constitution and boards and people, they also are working together as the one body of Christ here. And I say that we call it the Central Eastern Upper Peninsula.
That's awesome. So as someone who is right in the thick of it with the tri-parish, why is it important for churches to partner with each other? Why do you say that?
Like, we look in the rural area up here, and when we're going through the vacancy again, it was bottom line was there's just no way that they could afford a pastor either on their own or even as a dual parish. Up here, especially, we have a lot of elderly people, not a lot of young families, even the communities themselves. It's a reflection of what our communities are. And yeah, it's a lot of retirement, which also means a lot of snowbirds. Mm. Each church has about maybe a dozen or so couples that leave for the winter. So there's a good chunk of people that leave for the winter. So in the vacancy, it was okay. There's just no way that they could afford a full-time pastor, and trying to get a retired pastor too is, you know, someone they want to live here and serve them, only not full-time, but, you know, a good amount of time. So finally it's just, okay, the only way for this work for sustainability for
even Trinity was we need to collaborate and join up together. And in this case, it was to share a pastor who's willing to serve all three congregations. We know the shortage of pastors out there, and we know more churches will either have to like join up in collaboration or somehow share a pastor. And as we've seen here, it's like it's the only way this will function is, again, to if I would ever, you know, take another call and somebody come serve here, it's like it have to be kind of all three churches. Now, doing the entire Eastern Upper Peninsula, I don't think that could happen.
So what advice would you give another pastor or another church, say they're in a maybe smaller in size and doing some kind of collaboration? What advice would you give them about collaborating and partnering with other ministries?
Don't give up hope. Lord always has a good plan for everybody. Like even up here, even getting my first call to Trinity, I had no clue I was ever going to be in a tri-parish down the road, which I was open to. I was open to dual congregations, and here we are with three congregations now. The Lord has a plan, and you never know what's going to happen down the road. And be in prayer and conversation with everybody, and it's being open. When we're working through everything, it's like, okay, I was managing, how would this work? And relying on, you know, key people in each congregation, because that's one thing is, even though I go to three separate, you know, voter meetings and three separate council meetings, we have one tri-parish committee meeting. And this committee meeting goes over everything involving the tri-parish. So they, like, we're going to have this actually next week. They're going to go over the budget, which is like my salary to organist, secretary, cost for the tri-parish, what happens with the parsonage and, you know, and maintenance and sharing costs with the parsonage. And so as committee, we come together and we look at over things within the tri-parish. And even though they don't have the final say, they as and each church sends four representatives. So we have 12 people on this committee together. And thankfully in there, we're open with each other about what's going on. Oh, this one church is struggling. You know, okay, thank you for letting us know. How can we help and support you and be there for you or carry you through until you get good? Mm-hmm. And so they're open with each other with that. But then we also can discuss things and work towards things. Okay, how will this work? Like, again, the parsonage, worship times. It's always a discussion every year with worship times. And they're open with each other. It's not that, oh, this church feels hurt by this, so we're not going to talk about it. No, this is where we bring it up in this committee meeting. And then they come to a resolution, and then each church is supposed to bring that resolution back to them to bring to the voters meeting, and technically the voters have the final say. So for example, if Engadine does not want a later time anymore, they can come back and say, we don't want the later time. Now we have to go back to the drawing board and we figure that out. And then the voters can, again, if they say no, then we come back to drawing board as a committee meeting. So it's great working together in that, forming a committee and being open with each other and with pastors that may be interested or around the area. Hey, would you even consider doing this? Yeah. And that was one thing, again, they brought up to me. Would you even consider it? We were open to it and discussed as a family. And here we are 3 years later. So
what happens? You're going to need a week off. You're going to need, you know, something comes up. You're going to need a vacation, right? So what do you do?
In rural ministry, you know, it's different dynamics all over the place. You know, rural ministry from, you know, city ministry, urban ministry. Whereas, you know, bigger cities, even downstate, you know, you're closer to other churches where you can almost find somebody to fill in. That's the one thing up here in the Upper Peninsula is we are so far apart, for one, and the lack of even pastors. Again, I'm the only full-time guy on the eastern side of the UP, full-time pastor here. And the others are either retired or semi-retired. And so they're busy with their own congregations. So we just don't really have somebody to fill in. And thankfully, with technology and advanced technology these days, what I do is I record my sermon and I record the prayers. And then thankfully, we have an organist also from Newberry that was willing to travel with me to the other two churches who, that was one of the things too, is they never had an organist for a long time. So now they have a live organist, and they can go back to using the hymnals and divine settings and other services as well. So with them, my organist will actually fill in for me on that Sunday. And what he does, he also handles the PowerPoint. He leads matins, all from the organ. And then because we use PowerPoint in each congregation, we'll just incorporate the recording of my sermon and recording of the prayers into the PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. It was easier when it was just me at Trinity. I could get like an elder to lead, or the chairman even, and I'll type up the sermon and he could read it. But now you have three different churches and there's not everyone in each church that wants to get up and do that. So it's just easier for me to record it, put it in the PowerPoint, and they can watch it and hear it that way. Thankfully, some of the congregations do have readers that can step up and do readings, but usually I have to record those as well. So they're just the recording of the readings in the PowerPoint as well. So we make it work. We up here, we're a hardy crew, and we know how to survive and get through.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. We're going to have much more on partnerships, so check the show notes. We'll have more information, more details on this topic, as well as more details on the three churches that are up there as well. And Pastor, how you're able to make it work, that's awesome.
So, it's all by the grace of God.
and it's much appreciated. So thank you.
What I tell people is, they ask me, how do you do it? And I'm like, well, three churches, three kids, it's all a juggling act.
Yeah, we didn't even get into that. So I know you've got so much on your plate right now, and you're doing an awesome job. So we appreciate it, and God bless you.
Thank you, and thank you for the district and all you guys do to help us out up here too. I know we're a long ways away, but we're still, and that's the thing with all the three churches. I know even we're distanced, but this, you know, collaboration, unification between three churches, but also with the district and the synod, that we're something much larger than just our little area. We can work together. So again, thank you for the district coming along with us through many years with Trinity and then the Stripe Parish and helping to form that and working with us. So,
well, thank you, Pastor. And we also want to thank the listener for making this podcast part of your day. God bless.